Fear not. I have a question to ask. Do you feel fear because of things you see? God says, fear not. You know, I was thinking about one of the songs we just sung tonight. In that song, it says something like, I will not borrow gloomy visions of tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I tell you the truth, I try not to do that.
Yeah.
It's so much going on around us.
Yes, it is.
That unless we fight against it, we'll be fearful. Jesus said, God says, fear not. But how can we help not to fear if we allow ourselves to get caught up in the things that's happening around us?
Lord.
It provokes fear. If you look at the circumstances of our country, our world, our leaders, it provokes fear in you. And I don't believe God wants us to be fearful. Naturally, I'm naturally a fearful person. That's my natural makeup. I grew up like that. I was afraid of so much. My dad would drive to the country. We lived in Tulsa. And he'd drive over a bridge. I had those fears. I was fearful of so much. And I find that God has been working on me with fear. When I went to Honduras last year, I think I went 4 or 5 times. The Lord started working on my fears, on the things that would ordinarily be I'd be afraid of. I remember going to Rio Steven, and I told you all about the ferry ride back. But the night before we went back, it was during the rainy season. It was so, it rained so much that night till the bus could not come on our way because they couldn't come to Rio Steven because the road goes through the river. So when the river is high, the bus can't come, so you have to get in a dory, which is a little boat. There's a man in front and a man behind, carrying that boat across. And you can see on both sides, water. So here I get in this dory, and when we get to the other side, I am shaking. And one of the sisters, you know, I have this low blood sugar problem, so she says, you need some orange juice? I said, no, I'm just overwhelmed. I'm just full of emotions because I realized that God helped me to conquer another fear.
Amen.
That would have been a fearful situation, but God helped me to conquer that. And so he wants us to conquer fear. He doesn't want a fearful people.
Amen.
One of my life's scripture is Psalms 27. I'm telling you now, when I die and they have my funeral, I want somebody to say that scripture because that's my scripture. But it starts out, the Lord is my light and my salvation.
Yeah.
Whom shall I fear?
Lord,
the Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? And so this is, God gave me that. I remember one time I was driving in Florida, and I was on 75 going back home from wherever, I don't know what. Anyway, I was driving. And here was a semi on the left side and a semi on the right side. And all of a sudden, I got this feeling of claustrophobia. But you know what? The Lord brought my scripture to me. That's what brought me through. One thing have I desired of the Lord, is that the Lord is my light and my salvation. I do, whom shall I fear? I don't know how many situations I've been in. The Lord hasn't brought that scripture. And if I get in a tight, I can start, I find myself quoting it. I learned all 14 verses of that scripture. And that's been my help.
Thank the Lord.
So the Lord wants us to not fear. Whatever problem that we have, we must not be afraid. That is not God's way. He wants his people to trust him, to believe him, that he's going to protect us. We don't know what we're going to face. Sometimes we hear little things. We don't know how long we'll be able to enjoy service like we do without being something happening. And even today, many churches, people have actually come in churches and start shooting up people. But he doesn't want us to sit here in fear. He wants us to trust in his protection and his help. Let's go to Isaiah 41:13. I'm going to need some people to read scriptures. So I have quite a few. I don't know how many we'll get to, but somebody read that scripture.
For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand. Fear not.
Yep.
Amen. Think of the little child. They're going along. You go across the street or in a not-so-safe area, you tend to take that child by the right hand, don't you? And you sit, yes. You walk, you hold there. God takes us by the right hand and holds us. But we need to believe that. We need to hold on to his promises that he will do that. He wants us, he is our help. Let's go to Luke 12:32. God is our help. It is his will to help us. It's his will to help us in whatever circumstance. And it may not always be a physical problem. It may be an emotional problem. It may be a spiritual problem. We can have faith and confidence in God's help and not be afraid. When I was young, I told you I was fearful. I couldn't even get up to testify. Can you imagine that? I don't know how old I was, but I was a teenager, I guess. And I was saved, and I felt the Lord would speak to my heart to get up and testify. I was too afraid to testify. I felt that I just didn't feel worthy. All the Tulsa at that time had mostly the older saints, and it was just me and my brother, I think, that was saved for a while there in Tulsa. And I felt like I just didn't feel worthy to get up. And I didn't. And when I wouldn't, I'd go home repenting. Lord, forgive me. I was so sorry. But the Lord helped me finally to overcome.
Thank the Lord.
He can help us to overcome our fears, regardless, however deep they are. Whether it was because you were born and you were raised up, however you were raised up, God is there to help us. Yes. Did somebody get that scripture?
Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
How precious. He said, he called us little flock. Fear not. He, whatever we need spiritually, he was willing to give it to us.
That's right.
We don't have to fear about it.
Yes.
Let's go to 2 Kings. I want us to read a lot in this scripture here because I want us to see how God is there to help us. 2 Kings 6:8-16.
The king of Syria warred against Israel, counseled the servants, saying, in such and such place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. The king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled, and he called his servants and said unto them, Will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? Well, and one of his servants said, Nay, my lord, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, tell the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, Go and spy where he is, I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, Behold, he is in Dothan. You want more?
Yes, all the way to 16.
All right. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. When the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host encompassed the city, both of horses and chariots. Mm. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them.
Yes. Have you ever been in a circumstance like that?
Lord,
where you think, how shall we do? Mm. It looked like no way out. Looked like this is going to take me under. Yeah, I told you all about that time when I had hurt my leg on a metal, and it looked like it was going to take me. My dad had died with his foot had turned black. He had died, and you know he had diabetes. So when mine got infected, looked like it wasn't healing. I said to myself, this is going to take me. But I didn't get afraid. I just simply resigned that it's going to take me out. But the Lord didn't allow that. But I want you to know, sometimes we get in circumstance, we look at it and we say, this is going to take me. This is going to, there's no way out. I'm sure that servant looked and he said, he saw that they were surrounded by all these horses and chariots. How shall we do? And then what did he say? What did he say on verse 16?
And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them.
Thank you.
Okay, let's read 17.
All right. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha.
God,
thank the Lord.
Sometimes we need God to open our eyes to see
right.
How that he is, there is more than what we see. Mm-hmm. What we see, what we have with him, is he's more than what we have.
Amen.
The problem that he has. He that's with us is more than they. And so God opened the eyes of the young man. And so we need to ask us sometimes when the circumstance look like we can't, there's no way out. Just ask God to open my eyes that I can see you. We need to see God. I was thinking, God has been so good to me. So many things that I've had to go through. It's almost like every day he's doing something. Last week, wasn't it? When I went to the funeral, that was, Friday. I was flying to Miami. Well, I go standby. The brother in Dallas takes care of my trips. So I got on the plane, I got on the plane to Oklahoma and got to Dallas. It was supposed to be Oklahoma to Dallas, Dallas to Miami. But when I got off the plane and got to the gate, they were boarding and it was too full, so I couldn't get that one. So he said, wait, I'll tell you what, I'll get you to going to Orlando. And then from Orlando to Miami. So, okay, we get there, and I get to get on the Orlando plane. And we're flying. But we ran into some bad turbulence. And I was on there, I could hear people, I guess, groaning. I don't know what they were doing, but I started praying, and I didn't care who heard me. I mean, I didn't disturb the whole plane, but I'm sure the ones around me, they could have heard me. Anyway, I started praying, and while I was praying, it came to me either nothing is impossible with God or nothing is too hard for God. But that just kept coming to me. Nothing is too hard for God. Nothing or impossible. And so I could rest in that. And I just prayed and believed and left myself in God's hand. And he blessed us to get to Orlando, but we couldn't land. The weather was too bad. They had us circling, staying in the air. And then they closed the airport down. And so they had to divert us to Palm Beach. So when we get to Palm Beach, before we get there, the pilot said, the windshield is cracked. That storm cracked the windshield or put a hole in it. I don't know how he said it. But you know what? God helped us to get to Palm Beach and land safely.
Thank the Lord.
And some people were saying, in other words, they hope they're not trying to fix that plane and go back on it or something. I don't know what. But that was it for me. I was close enough that I could get an Uber to where I was going. But you know something? As serious as that was, I'm thankful he said that, because that let me know the power of God and how he protected us. Can you imagine? Turbulence was bad enough, but to go through it and then the windshield gets cracked, that was God's mercy.
Thank the Lord.
And so the Lord wants us to be able to trust him and to believe him. When he said nothing is impossible with God, stand on that. We can stand on his promises. Even when things look like there is no way out, we think about Elijah and Elisha. If you remember, Elisha wanted to follow Elijah, and he said he wanted a double portion of his spirit.
Yes.
He said that would be a hard thing. But if you see me when I go up, it'll be so. If not, it won't. So he did. He saw him, and his mantle fell. But when Elisha got ready to go back, I think it was to Jordan, he picked up the mantle and he hit the water and said, "Where is the God of Elijah?" And what happened? The water parted, and he was able to go through. Do you think that God wanted all of what he is able to do to just stay in the Bible and not happen in our day? No. He wants to show us in our day how that he can part the waters.
Yes.
He can make a path in our Red Sea. Sometimes we have situation that's the Red Sea for us. But he's willing. He wants to open up the Red Sea for us. But we must believe him. We must trust him. We must not doubt. I feel like many times when we are afraid and doubting, we are missing blessings. We're living beneath our privileges. We have some privileges that we can take the word of God and stand on it and trust him regardless of what's happening. Today, I was praying for Sister Baxter and her grandchildren, and the Lord just brought it so plain to me. This message that he's given me to stand on. He wanted me to stand on this message.
Thank the Lord.
Not be doubting or afraid that it's not going to work out. And then she said, it worked out.
Thank the Lord.
It worked out for the children.
Thank the Lord.
They've been praying for like, 3 years? And they've been putting it off and putting it off. And first one thing and another, they're trying to keep those parents from having their children. But these children believe in prayer. One of them, I know, would be singing like he's trusting God to work for them. They wanted to be back home with their family.
Thank you, Lord.
Felt, if for no other reason, for those children's sake, I wanted to see it happen. But the Lord is letting me know he's not giving this just for us to just a good message. He wants us to stand on these promises. And so that's what we must do. Peter, let's go to Matthew 14 and 22 to 31. Peter had a privilege to do something that no other person we ever heard of has been able to do. And that was to walk on the water. But what happened? 14, starting at verse 22.
And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. He had sent the multitudes away up into a mountain apart to pray. It was come, but the ship was now in the midst of swift waves, for the wind was contrary. Fourth watch of the night Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea.
Yes.
And when the multitudes saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. 27. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good courage, it is I, be not afraid.
Yes.
And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water.
Yes.
And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus.
Yes.
But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?
Yes, so see, we need God to help us to keep our eyes on the Lord.
Yes.
When the things around us are look like an insurmountable for us, we need to lift our eyes to the Lord.
Amen.
He's willing to help us. We don't need to fear because it's not that he's allowing these things and he doesn't care. He cares. But he wants us to have faith and confidence in him. So I want to encourage us that we ask, if we need to, we can ask God to open our eyes. We need to see him high and lifted up.
That's right.
You know, we can just have God like he's down here among all these. No, he's high and lifted up. And if we get our eyes away from the troubles around us and lift them up to him, he will take us through.
Yes.
He will be there for us. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 20. We have so many good examples in the Word of God to help us. When we're in trouble, the Word is our defense against the enemy. 20 and starting in verse 1.
And it came to pass after this also, the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and them other beside the Amorites came against the battle. And there came some that told the host of them, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on the side of Syria, and behold, they be Hazzoth Tamar, which is, and Jehoshaphat had fear, and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even of all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem. Jerusalem and the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen?
Yes.
And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Number 7, art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying,
yes.
One more.
Keep going.
If, when evil cometh upon us, as a sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in the house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now, behold, the children of Ammon, and Moab, and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade, but they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee.
That's why I stopped. They didn't know what to do. Sometimes we get to a place we don't know what to do. But we need to put our eyes on the Lord. And there is victory. When we do that, we're going to get victory. So read on to 17.
And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Move down to 15. And he said, hearken ye all, Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus said the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God.
Look at that. Listen. The battle is the Lord's.
Yes.
All we have to do is trust him. Read 16 and 17.
Go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Merul. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you.
Thank the Lord.
Amen.
And this is the promise that we can have. The Lord will be with us. He promised to be with us, regardless of what kind of circumstance. We could go from example to example in the scriptures of how God was with his people. When we live for God, we have a privilege to trust him. And we should not be afraid. Anytime we feel fear, let's remember, fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I want to read a couple of promises that we can stand on. Philippians 4 and 19. Somebody get that, and someone get Ephesians 3 and 20.
I have right here, Philippians 4 and 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus.
So we can take that, you know, we may have a financial need. We may have emotional need. We may feel grief because of a loss of a loved one. Whatever we need, he said, my God shall supply.
Yeah.
Did he say part of your needs? Or some of your needs? He said, all your needs.
Thank you, Lord.
And I'm thankful that we can do this. We can claim that he supplied our needs. I was thinking about something that I wanted. And I said, well, he knows, he's promised to supply my needs. And I left it there. If he sees it's a need, he will supply it. And if he don't, That meant I didn't need it, because he said he would supply all our needs. Ephesians 3:20.
That is able to do exceeding abundantly of all that we ask for according to the power that works in us.
Yes.
Listen to this. Exceeding, that means going beyond.
Yes.
Abundantly, there's no limit. I don't see any limit to that. Above what we think, all that we can ask or think.
Yes, Lord.
Can you imagine the scope of what God can do for us?
Yes.
It sounds to me like I can't think or ask for anything that I need that God can't do something about. And so we need to stand flat-footed on his promises, and we can be. We have no excuse, no place for fear. We need to fight fear. That is the enemy. When he wants to fight, make us fearful. So pray for me that I'll be faithful, and I trust that God will bless each one of us to remember his word, to stand on his word, and to fear not.